phone at 23 Bart Street, Poland, Ohio. Today's date is Wednesday, September the 24th, 1975, at approximately 10:15 a.m. Mr. McPhee has been very active in numerous functions in the Youngstown area, including, of course, the Youngstown YMCA, and also included in his activities have been also the Y College and Youngstown State University. I've already done an introduction. Could you give me your personal background, Mr. McPhee, in terms of where you were born and raised, education, and perhaps then we'll get into how you became involved in the YMCA.
I was born in Youngstown, Ohio, on the east side, April 8, 1907. My mother's name was Anna McPhee, and my father's was Angus McPhee. Attended Sheehy Street Grade School, then attended East High of Cleveland, Ohio, graduating there in 1924, and then on to Oberlin College, and spent 3 years there, spent a year at Grove City, and then got my AB degree from Youngstown in 1930. And in 1930 was when I became affiliated with the Y staff. But my early affiliation to the YMCA as a boy would be back around 1916. And a few of the names of the persons there at that time would be Ralph Skinny Johnson, who's now on the West Coast, and Wes Fester, who was also living at Leisure World. And these two will reminisce often of our days as kids at the YMCA. Aki Panier was one of our swimming instructors at that era. About 1919, Paul Babies, who later became the general secretary of Youngstown, graduated from Ohio State University and came back as director of boys' activities along with E.N. Hale. Pat Brannan was our physical director. Pat now lives in Tucson, Arizona. Many years later, my son John attended the University of Arizona and was looking for an apartment to rent. He parked his car at the back of the apartment and went in and talked to Mrs. Brannan, and shortly thereafter, Pat came in, asking the question, who owned the Ohio car? Johnny spoke up and said, I do. And after comparing some notes as to where Poland, Ohio was, and so on and so forth, Pat said that he had been former physical director at the YMCA and inquired if John was any relation of mine. And John said, he is my father. Well, as the years passed, the next few years passed by, we had many visits with the Brannans out in Arizona and back here at Poland, Ohio.
Could you relate to me how you became involved as a kid with the YMCA? Was it the fact that your father pursued that, or had he attended the Y?
No. The only thing I can say about that is that my two older brothers, Harry and Hugh, who just recently passed away, as kids were very active at the YMCA, along with a prominent name in Youngstown today, Dr. Harry Gaskin. Harry Gaskin's brother Bob Younger and I were together at the YMCA. So it was just seemed to come down as a family tradition as kids to spend an evening at the YMCA after school and be down there on Saturday.
Where was the YMCA located at that time?
It was located on in the very early stage they had the YMCA right on the corner of Champion and Federal. And when I came along, they had already built the new, what it was, the new YMCA at the present location.
Mm-hmm. On Champion Street.
On Champion Street there. And it's been my experience to go through about three of these modern improvement campaigns over the stretch of years I've been affiliated with the YMCA.
Yes.
You asked a moment ago how I happened to become associated with the YMCA as a staff member. You were not around, so this doesn't mean much to you as far as dates are concerned, but in late 1929, we had a stock crash in Youngstown. I had come out of, I was learning the steel trade. I was learning the steel trade at Sheet and Tube Rod and Wire Division, and I was working for Jack Oliver, who was superintendent of the rod mill. At present, his daughter, Trudy Price, is secretary to Camp Fitch. And I had been approached by the YMCA to teach physical education, and also by the Youngstown College to teach physical education and coach basketball.
Mm-hmm.
So I accepted that and started in September of 1930, teaching young men's physical education at the YMCA and teaching the college physical education classes and teaching hygiene at the college and coaching basketball. And that stayed, I stayed with that work until 1935. In the summer of 1935, I went to Camp Fitch and pinched hit for Curly Johnson, who was ill and who died in July of 1935. Then I left, or we left, my wife and I left and moved to Elwood City, where I was affiliated with the National Tube for 1 year, and then to Wilmerding, Pennsylvania, where I was worked for the Wilmerding Christian Association and the Westinghouse Airbrake as a liaison man between the two organizations. And then in 1940, Paul Davies called and asked me if I'd be interested in coming back to Youngstown. So I returned in February of 1940 to run Camp Fitch. And later in 1940, I became the boys' secretary and held both of those jobs for a couple of years, and then became executive secretary of the central branch. And late in 1944, I resigned from the YMCA and went with the Ironsides Company of Columbus. So that would bring you up to date quickly as to how we moved along. Now, whether you have any other questions?
Yes, I do. When you came in 1930 to the YMCA in the physical education capacity, were you hired by Paul Davies?
Leonard Skeggs was the general secretary, and Paul Davies was the executive secretary of the central branch. At that time, West Federal Street Branch, there was West Federal Street Branch and Youngstown College.
Mm-hmm.
Simeon Booker was executive secretary of the West Federal Street Branch, and Homer Nearpass was the director of the Youngstown College. And Paul Davies, yes. Paul hired me, and I worked at Central and at the college.
The YMCA and the college worked very closely together in those days.
The Youngstown College was owned by the YMCA, and later on, oh, I would say probably in the 40s sometime, is when the transition took place of where the college became separated from the YMCA.
I think it was in 1947, if I'm not mistaken.
That probably be about the right word, yes.
I remember that, the plaque that they had in front of the main building at the university.
Mm-hmm.
And switching to the disciplining itself or whatever from the YMCA. A couple of questions about the activities that went on the YMCA when you were physical director. How is the YMCA different in the 1930s, and perhaps comment if you could through the 40s, even, since you were affiliated again with it in the 40s. How did it change, do you feel, over the course of the decades to what it exists right now? I mean, it's granted the physical size of the YMCA is much larger and there are probably more members, but can you see any changes that have occurred in the YMCA over the course of the decades that would be outstanding in your mind? Again, going back, asking the question, what would be the major change that you would consider as to what has happened to the YMCA over the decades?
Well, Jeff, I would say this. As far as the physical program at the Y is concerned, basically it is the same, but it has broadened in that the youngsters today are learning to play squash and handball and activities as such. While we as kids took our calisthenics, and then we had our team sports of basketball, et cetera, which is a much broadened program from what we had in our day to day. I think it's a program. I think one of the outstanding physical directors I've ever seen at the YMCA, as far as boys are concerned, was a lad by the name of Carl Morrow. He had his junior leader set up so that on Friday night they had their junior leader club meeting. And when the business end of the meeting was over, each junior leader got to a phone and called his team up to make sure that they were present on Saturday morning for class. Therefore, it carried through very well, and he had great attendance and great interest in his league. We didn't have that in our day, and we don't have it today, but we went through the period of that. I think another phase of the program, other than physical, as a youngster, back in grade school, I remember going down on Sunday afternoon with my dad to the, what was the old gym at the Y, where they had meetings and they had outstanding speakers come in, like a forum type of meeting. And practically all of those meetings were on the spiritual side and were outstanding people. We don't have that type of program today at the Y, but we do have the chapel service, which is held in our little chapel room at the Y, which we did not have in those days. So I would say that the spiritual program is still being carried on at the Y in a much different way than what it was back, I hate to count back, roughly 60 years ago, but this is the type of thing. I think the YMCA is doing more of a community program today, a wider community program with its Tri-High Y, its High Y, its various Indian club organizations where the youngsters and the dad get together, and things of this type. It's a much broader community program, which is wonderful.
Do you think that that would have gone over in 1930?
This, I am probably open for a lot of criticism. But I would say that we, of our day, was interested in football, basketball, baseball, sports. We did not have the TV. We did not have the automobile. We walked to the YMCA, and we walked back from the YMCA. Our minds in those days, or our life, was competing in sports. Today, the youngster has so many other things to attract his attention that I don't think that program would have gone over in our day. I mean, girls were not a part of our life. Kids. Today they seem to be a part of all of the programs today.
Well, of course, as you mentioned, the YMCA is moving into family areas. And when you began at the Y,
was it pretty much just father-son, or just it was all a boys' organization and a men's organization at that time?
I would say there was a clear line of men and boys, separate programs. My father did not belong to the Y. I did. Thinking back over our neighborhood on the east side, I question if there were any fathers who were members of the YMCA, but yet their boys were all their boys were members.
It was sort of, what do you want to say, it was a thing to do then, to join the Y as a kid. Would you say that that would be correct?
Yes, that was the thing to do, because when you think back to that era, the schools did not have, with the exception of some place like Rayan High School or South High School, possibly Princeton Junior High and Lincoln Junior High, were the only gyms in the city at that particular time.
Yes.
Therefore, if we wanted to have physical activity in the winter, such as basketball and et cetera, the only place open to us was the YMCA. And I know that my family, my mother and dad, felt that the YMCA was the place to be. We could not be in any trouble there.
Mm-hmm.
And it was the truth. I mean, mother and dad always spoke very highly of the YMCA and what the YMCA contributed to their children's lives.
When you would go there as a youth, was the YMCA program pretty well cut and dried for you? In other words, getting, perhaps looking for some differences between the Y in 1916 or 1920 or 1930 and the YMCA today.
Good call. I was asking you a question about the program when you came in, when we were, when you had to answer the telephone. And basically, the question I was asking was, in terms of the program, was it a pretty regimented program that you had when you went to the Y as a kid? Or was the, like today, when kids go into the Y, they're given a little freer hand. Was that the case then, or not?
No, I would say that we had pretty much regimentation, in that prior to our gym class, we had a little short, what you would call spiritual program, or
yes,
religious program, and then we would go down and get dressed and go to our gym class and have 1 hour of calisthenics, playing games, et cetera, and then we would have a half hour in the swimming pool. And then following that in the afternoon, on Saturday afternoon then, we would have movies. So that was pretty much the program, Saturday in and Saturday out.
Okay. What about during the week? You made mention of the fact going down there during the course of the week.
Well, we had classes like on Tuesday, Thursday, after school we would go down. And again, we would have our hour at the gym.
Mm-hmm.
We would have the half hour in the pool. And then, I believe it was on Friday night, we used to have our junior leaders club, which we spent the short religious service and go up on the gym floor and go through our program that we would have on Saturday as we became junior leaders to pass on to the others. And our job of supervision was helping to instruct up on the gym floor, being like not substitute, but assistant lifeguards on the pool.
Yes.
And it was a general program of helping out. When you became a junior leader, you felt very important.
I know the feeling. I was one myself.
Well, wonderful.
Yes. Could you comment a little bit, if you would, about Camp Fitch? You became affiliated with Camp Fitch. Well, first of all, let me ask, did you ever go there as you were growing up?
Way back when, yes. But my interest in Camp Fitch, I'm going to tell you a story that very few people realize. In 1940, when I returned to the Youngstown YMCA to run Camp Fitch, many things needed to be done. And since your dad was a former YMCA secretary, you can appreciate you operated very close financially. Two occasions that happened probably brought me close, very one night I was sitting in the upper flat worrying about camp, particularly financially. And two men came over and sat down alongside of me. One was Russ McKay, who was then president of the YMCA, and Sid Collins, who was very active in the YMCA. They asked me what was on my mind, and I told them. They said, your job here is to keep these kids happy and contented. Let us worry about the finances. On another occasion, we had a problem at Camp Fitch, and Al Glossbrenner, who later became president of Sheep and Sioux, his two boys, Al Jr. and Bunny, were on my camp staff at the time. Al asked me my problem, I explained it to him. He said, you take care of camp, I'll take care of that problem. Now that is the type of thing that happened to me in that era. And I think down deep I made a promise to myself that if the time came that I could help Camp Fitch, take the time enough to help Camp Fitch, I would gladly do so. In the past 15 months, a few of us old-timers, such as Gordy Harrison, Georgie McNabb, Bob Rowland, Bud McCleary, and I could go on and on with names. We got together and decided that some things had to be done for Camp Fitch. So the past 15 months, we have gone to camp. We put down over 3,500 feet of water and gas pipe. We built a new steel maintenance building. We built a new horse barn, which anybody would be proud of to have on their place. We have put a new floor in the McCleary Lodge. We have put showers and toilet facilities in that lodge, which were never there before. Mm-hmm. We put new heating units there. We've gone to the boys' and the girls' toilet buildings, and we've redone them to, when you walk in now, you think you're probably in one of the best school toilet buildings in the country or a country club place. We have some other things to finish up. And it's been done by a group of men who, as boys, were affiliated with Camp Fitch.
Yes.
And we're proud of it. And we're not finished. We hope to get some more work done.
Are you physically doing the work yourselves?
This is an angle that some of the older fellows who were older campers at Camp Fitch, such as Patsy Johnson, Curly Johnson's brother, Howard Connor, Al Moran, Gene Adderholt, George Bergman, again, Ken McKee, I could go on and on with names, men who have retired, and most of them past 70, have spent probably about 8 or 10 days at camp doing physical work, which has cut down on the labor costs. A younger group of fellows like Kenny Wilson and Carl Soller and some other of those boys have gone up and done some work up at camp also. So that I think the best example of what camp has meant to people, Dick Bennett, who's the executive of Central Branch now, recently called it Republic Steel on the present membership campaign.
Mm-hmm.
And he's reported back to me, he said, all I can get those people to talk about is when they were kids at Camp Fitch. And it seems as though there's a tradition back of Camp Fitch and a loyalty of the boys that have gone there. This past summer, our two grandchildren were at Camp Fitch. And this is so common, where you'll go there and meet the grandparents who were campers, and the father and the mother and the kids. And I said, it's remarkable. This past the summer of 74, I remember particularly,
yes,
a boy who had gone to camp some time ago, lives in Washington, D.C., and there was only one camp for his children to go to, was Camp Fitch. We've had this happen so often. So we're proud of Camp Fitch. We think it's great.
Is, now, Camp, you said you were first affiliated in 1935 when you filled in for Curly Johnson. Is that correct?
That's right.
How was it walking into running Camp Fitch at that time, if you can remember that? Because, of course, I'm sure you affiliated with the YMCA as you were in physical education. Camp was a new bag, so to speak, for you.
Looking back to that year of 1935, plus the 40 through 43 when I was at camp, we at camp stressed athletics. We had on our camp staff teaching basketball, Jim Bennett, who was all Eastern Intercollegiate forward at Cornell. And I could go down the line and tell you swimming directors, et cetera, et cetera. We had Luddy Ohl on the wrestling team of Ohio University. Buck Bourne, who played football for W&J. Ed Enerline, who played basketball for Youngstown University, was on our staff. We placed our emphasis on athletics. We had other programs such as nature hikes, so on and so forth. But the main emphasis was that way. The amazing thing to me today is that at camp, the athletic phase of the program is just minor, which is all right with me. I mean, the youngsters seem to be interested in craft. They seem to be interested in swimming, boating, canoeing, hiking, bicycle trips. The program today at camp is much broader.
Yes.
And much better than what we had. So I think that camp has really made some great strides, yes. The 35 was teaching the fundamentals of football, basketball, and baseball. That was also true of the early 40s. Today, that's just a very minor part.
Just sort of something out of perspective here, but at that time, did Youngstown College, Youngstown University, or whatever football's team go up to Camp Fitch?
Youngstown football, I believe, started about 1938. I'm not sure, but I think it was about 1938 football started. And then they went to Camp Fitch under Dyke Beatty.
Mm-hmm.
Dyke was an old Camp Fitcher.
Didn't know that.
And he goes back to the days when Camp Fitch was down on the Little Beaver in Columbiana County. Yes, they went to camp, and they went up to camp until probably about 1970 or 71, somewhere in that period.
Yes.
And but they went up every summer to camp.
That's interesting. I just had not known about them had begun going up there. Is there anything that you might like to add? Any stories? Any ideas or anything like that to conclude this? In terms of course, now you being affiliated with the YMCA in capacities other than working there as a on the board or serving on various committees and things. Anything you might like to say or add about anything about the YMCA that you can think of in closing?
I'm glad you asked me that, because this is my philosophy of the YMCA as well as Camp Fitch. I think back to the very happy, wonderful days I had as a kid at the YMCA, at camp. My rich experience of working for the YMCA, the people whom I met, have meant so much to me and have been so much of a help through life. And then as I went into the business world in the end of 44, couldn't spend the time at Youngstown that I liked to, I mean around home that I would have liked to. And now that I'm on the retired side, this is my present day philosophy. I am going to work hard for the YMCA and Camp Fish to keep those doors open for the kids today and the kids that are coming on later, because somebody did that for me back, let's say, 60 years ago. That is my philosophy.
Is it harder to do today? Is it harder to keep those doors open?
Well, no. There's a lot of very generous people. They are generous in that they're willing to do things for kids. I could go on and tell you story after story and use names, but I don't think it's wise at this time. Have some of our toughest business operators who will turn the world upside down for a kid, but for an adult, the answer is a definite no now. So that when you appeal to people on the basis that you're doing this for the youth, they accept their responsibility. I have over the years, I'm doing right now, I'm working on the membership campaign, and I appealed to some golfers on the basis that caddies should have memberships at the Y. They buy them because they want these kids to have every opportunity they can and to get it in a good atmosphere. This is their point. They want a good atmosphere. So, yes, the people today are very good to the youth of our country.
I think that probably the same thing holds true with parents today as you said your parents felt. It is, it's pretty hard to get in trouble with the Y. There's a lot of good learning and a lot of widening out of personal horizons growing up that the YMCA can offer. And hopefully this will continue.
I wouldn't give up. The years I worked at the YMCA, I wouldn't give up those experiences for any other years of my life. Because you cannot place a dollar value on friendship. And when I think of the men and the kids that I knew during that period of working at the Y, and how much they have meant to me since in many, many ways, I just couldn't place a value, but I wouldn't give those years up. They were rich. They helped me tremendously.
I'd like to thank you for taking the time to sit and discuss some of your past experiences and your affiliations with the Youngstown YMCA.
Well, I appreciate it.